In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us, and even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Bountiful God, you gather your people into your realm, and you promise us food from your tree of life. Nourish us with your word, that empowered by your Spirit, we may love one another and the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man from Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took straight course to Samothrace through the day and to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalms responsively. Please read the bold print. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, and your saving health among all nations.
Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. A reading from Revelation. And in the Spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple was the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, which has a crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Now he is living.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, there's a cry for help. Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia pleading with Paul and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Paul immediately acts when he receives this cry for help. In my critique of our society's rugged individualism as being contrary to the Christian life, what we see in our lesson from Acts today is the Christian response when someone needs help, and that we too must be willing to ask for help when we need help. Do we immediately act when someone is in need and asking us to help them? And how quick are we to ask for help ourselves? How long does something have to be bothering us before we ask the doctor for help? Before GPS, how long and often did we get lost because we were hesitant to ask for help? I just witnessed a back and forth between generations when someone of a younger generation asked someone of an older generation what they did before GPS. And the older generation's response was, "We got lost." That's what we did before GPS. We got lost. Our pride, right? Asking for help felt so humiliating that we'd rather be lost. We're taught to always care for ourselves, to be self-sufficient always. That's seen as a strength. Rather than getting a cup of sugar from your neighbor, borrowing a tool from your neighbor, creating that culture and economy of reciprocity where we're neighborly towards one another, we've become isolated, thinking I could do it by myself all the time. When we isolate ourselves into believing that lie that I alone can do everything, we become our own God. The good news rings hollow when our faith is centered on our capabilities and not on what God has done and God is doing. And it's only a matter of time when we keep telling ourselves, I alone can do everything, that we realize I'm alone. When my faith is centered on me and taking care of me, then I do not have any time to help anyone else. I'm too distracted. I'm too consumed with myself, which means there's also no time to share the love of Jesus because I'm consumed with me. In Acts chapter 16, Lydia needed something. She was a worshiper of God, but she needed something more. This is a very capable woman. Pastor Sarah Tevis Towns reminds us that Lydia was one of the founders of the Church of Philippi, which was in her house. And it grew and became one of the most influential churches in early Christianity. Lydia seems to be a businesswoman, head of her household. And as a businesswoman who dealt in purple cloth was reserved for the emperor and other powerful people. Lydia was influential and successful, yet she still needed help. And we acknowledge that Ezra Harris, who will be baptized this morning, as you can hear, still needs help. And this is a communal affair. We have parents, we have baptismal sponsors, we have family, friends, we have the people of God surrounding Ezra with prayer and promising to support him, to help him in his walk of faith. The reason we want all the baptized to live among God's faithful people so that they have people to turn to when they need help. The reason we want the baptized to be centered in the Word of God and to partake in the Holy Supper is because we want them to know that there are these tangible means of grace in which they can turn to God and receive the living God for help and support in their time of need. The reason we want them to know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to be nurtured in the Holy Scriptures and a life of prayer is that they might be anchored in their own life, knowing where to go for help, trusting in God that regardless of what's going on in their life, they can be grounded in hope. That is our desire and prayer for Ezra, that his life flourishes from a place of nourishment in the faith. And in the world, our desire is that Ezra and all the baptized would proclaim the love of Christ in word and deed, and that those who would need help could instinctively turn to Ezra because he would be anchored. He would know where to get support in his own life because he knows how to ask for help. And that they could look to someone like Ezra, to someone like you all, and say, I need help. Can you help me? And to whatever vocation God calls him to and all the vocations that we're called to, that we might work for justice and peace in all the world. Now, to be clear, this is not about Ezra being a good person, but enabling him to know that he's part of a new creation and that his life becomes a signpost of the kingdom of heaven that would point people to where they could find true help and freedom, which is Jesus Christ. And that through the love he shares, through the love that we all share, they would not only receive the help that they need, but that they would get a glimpse of heaven on earth. This way of life calls us to be in community and not isolation. It calls us to ask for help and to provide help to those who need it. Because the forces of evil in this world know how people long to belong and that they nurture that with words of hate and violence. Just recently, there was a shooting and death at a Taiwanese church in Laguna Woods, California. And the motive of the shooter was that he had hatred towards Taiwanese people. In Buffalo, New York, there was a mass shooting and death that occurred at a supermarket, particularly targeting African Americans, with that intent being racially motivated. I believe that the perpetrators of such violence are nurtured by communities of hate and are fed a steady diet of fear that enables them to carry out such actions. As the church, our response must be to weed out the fear and the hate that seeks to even penetrate our own walls. We begin by not living in isolation, but always seeking to help those who are isolated and neglected in our world. If I am only focused on myself and my own capabilities, then the isolated and neglected do not receive the help that they need. They continue to suffer. They're subject and susceptible to being drawn into those words and those communities of hate and violence. Some of them can fall prey to that fear and hate, only to be exposed and focused on our own capabilities. We're not living into a new creation. We're not being signposts of the kingdom of heaven. But the good news is that we can be centered on a new economy of divine love, realizing that we're never alone when it comes to the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. If Lydia would have focused on her own capabilities, her conclusion in life is that life is nothing more than a series of transactions. It's just buying and selling. But the economy of God doesn't work that way. Her capabilities, her success in the world, what she was able to produce, is not contingent upon Jesus loving her unconditionally. That when we need help and turn to the cross, we're reminded of the love that knows no bounds. And the ability to belong is not contingent upon what we do, but on the work and faithfulness of Christ. It's a response to that love, that we can love one another as Christ has loved us. As we heard in the gospel, those words of Jesus, when we keep his word, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to remind us that when it comes to Jesus, we can take comfort in those words from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. We become the antithesis of fear and hate in this world when we live counterculturally by being able to ask for help from others and ask God for help, to also be able to provide help to those in need. Our life is not based on transactions, but on living a life that is as gracious as our Lord's is towards us. Lydia shows us that in the baptized life, one who is being served immediately serves. That's what she does at the end of Acts. She welcomes Paul and company into the home and serves them. The baptized immediately serve. So someone's going to have to break the news to Ezra that he's going to get to work in living into this new creation as a member of the body of Christ. In Christ, when we need help, we are not devalued, but we're reminded that we're loved. In Christ, in moments of weakness, we look to the strength of Christ in his weakness on the cross and know that in Christ, we are strong. In Christ, when we are asked to provide help, we give not from our privilege and not from our success. We give first and foremost from a place of faith. And in Christ, when the world has judged us to be unimportant, irrelevant, and tries to neglect us, may you all know that in Christ you are essential now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. We will continue with the baptismal rite on page 15 in your bulletin. I'll invite forward the parents, Ezra, and sponsors at this time. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ? As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people. Bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. Teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture him in faith and prayer, so that your child may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for peace and justice. Do you promise to help your child grow in the Christian faith and life? Sponsors, do you promise to nurture this person in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? People of God, do you promise to support Ezra and pray for him in his new life in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, holy God. You are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your Holy Spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your Son Jesus promised to send the Spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into those who are baptized here. By your Spirit, adopt us all as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ezra Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want to hold that? Let us pray. We give you thanks that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life.
Amen.
Sustain
Ezra with the gift of your Holy Spirit,
the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Ezra, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us welcome the newly baptized. Let us rejoice in welcoming the newest member of the body of Christ. We continue with the hymn of the day, which can be found on page 13 in your bulletin. Prayers of intercession, which can be found on page 21 of your bulletin.
Let us say what we believe. Okay. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to God of resurrection for the church, the people in need, and all creation. God, a new life, open your church to the unexpected ways of your Spirit is at work. Guide bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders in their visioning, partnership, and planning. Surround us with your peace, God, and your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give a vision of increase and abundant harvest for farmers, laborers, and gardeners who are beginning their growing season. Join their efforts with the goodness of creation to feed all living things. God, in your mercy. Shine your light of wisdom and peace among nations. When those in power seek to assert dominance over others, confound their ways and make them yield to your humble authority. God, in your mercy. Give safe haven to those who seek healing, liberation, or peace. Especially for the people of Buffalo and Luguana Woods in their wake of death and injury due to hate and gun violence. Tracy, Amber, Faith, Vincent, Pat, Dave, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Nadine, Cheryl, Barb, Sadie, Lucas, Ruth, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. God, in your mercy, create places filled with hospitality where hurting people find your loving presence and wholeness. God, in your mercy, uphold the work of ministries and organizations in our communities who assist people experiencing homelessness, citizens returning from prison, and all marginalized people. Accomplish your will through their efforts. God, in your mercy. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, Luke, and their chaplains. God, in your mercy. Assemble your people at rivers, streams, and fonts, where we remember our baptism and welcome others in their communion of saints. Gather us with those who have died when we meet together at your river of life. God, in your mercy.
In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings, as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks, for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke, and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In a night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. At this time, I invite forward anyone who's participating in Children's Church this morning, and for our communion assistants to come forward. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side only. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.